thank EPAM for organizing all that session that myself I found very nice, but of course I am perhaps a biased judge. But I want also to thank my fellow co-organizers without whom this wouldn't have been such an interesting session. So thank you, really. So the subject of my talk is extreme. And smooth gradient percolation. So, so this is a more perhaps provocative subtitle, is that some of the exponents that you find, and you know that they really exist in for infinite system, exist for very, very small systems, so very far from the thermodynamic limit. So 7-4, I will show you the numerically. So we are not doing experimental mathematics, but numerical experimentation. It's slightly different because we start from physical questions about complex system and we try to understand. And the smooth percolation will show you that one can observe something like critical fluctuation without critical parameter. So let me go first to the end of my talk. So this is a diffuse discriminant. I'm sorry, it's a little too high. This is a diffuse distribution of particles. So you take a grid. Here it's 500 by 500. Oops.
Oh.
And it is the group of particles with probability 1 and a smaller probability as you go down here. And finally, you have a probability 0 here. So we will always consider a system with L columns and a length for the gradient, a distribution of probability characterized by a length LG, G for gradient, and there are L plus 1 lines. Now, smooth percolation is obtained if you, so you have occupied sites with a space varying density on the grid, and each site, you put a continuous Gaussian distribution with some variance, that classical Gaussian, then you add the contribution. And of course, instead of having a point image, you have something which is blurred.
But they're still on a grid, though. The original,
the original are still on a grid. And then you can ask what is the properties of the constant level lines or constant altitude in that. So you can find that. And what you find, and this we found several years ago, and still not published it, because we went into another problem triggered by that, which is extreme gradient percolation. So what do we observe? You observe that these lines are random, no surprise. They have some.
Just make sure I understand the second. So the initial black and white dots were non-random or random?
No, random, but with a distribution which is larger at the top, with a probability which is large on this line, smaller and smaller.
It's a binary distribution, black or white.
Yeah, black or white.
One minus P, right?
Yes.
And P varies.
Yes, and P varies continuous.
And P varies continuous.
So
now you add on top of this some other smoothing factor.
Some broadening function or smoothing function. In that case, a Gaussian.
Just multiply each PI, we should know.
Yeah. No, each occupied site you make.
One.
One to zero.
You sum of the occupied sites
at
the position x, y, and x, y, y, okay, y.
So at the moment there is still no percolation, just the process?
No, there is no percolation. Now you perhaps come back to percolation at least guess. In fact, this is an observation. So you see, of course, if you have neighboring sides, in that sense, they overlap and they have a large value. So now this is a function of x and y. It's not a distribution of the grid. It's a function of the plane. And the constant level lines are shown here. And you observe something, two things. First, this broadening creates some droplets in some sense. And you have irregular and fluctuating line. And the property, whatever the level that you choose, the property are more or less the same. Same width and same type of irregularity. So now, if there is something critical, it's obtained whatever the value of the constant level that you choose. So this is what we call smooth percolation. And a little more is that if there is some typical size from the droplet, which may be, I don't know, five or perhaps sites, initial sites, and here we had 100, so if you we had 500, so if you normalize size to a size of 5, it gives you 100. And if you if you look for the width here, the width is roughly like the power 1/2, of course it's very approximate, or the power 4/7, which is not very different from 1/2. And this what triggered the idea that perhaps we should look. Because it, here you have.
What scales is what? What's the power of what?
The width.
Of interface. Uh-huh.
If you say I had previously a gradient of 500, but in fact it's made of droplet of size, let's say 10. So really the gradient is 100. And you take the power 4/7 of 100 or the power of
so
order 1/2.
You see the scaling have to do several box sizes.
No, I'm just measuring the width. I compare the width measured in with a unit size, which is that, okay, with the gradient
but
measured with a unit.
1 point will not give you a power law. To see a power law, you have to do several box sizes.
No, I'm just observing. I'll come to it. I'm just observing that, in fact, this looks like the width of a gradient percolation. And this is why I will now go to gradient percolation. Okay. So I will describe very quickly cases in which gradient percolation really exists in the real life. So this came first. So I have to go back 20 years back when we first studied this system, because we wanted to find the geometry of the diffuse contact. And we'll see that the same geometry appear naturally in the structure of fuzzy image and in corrosion faults in experiments, and perhaps also in erosion faults, and gives rise to fractal sequence geometry. So just to motivate the general scheme, why are we concerned by this problem. So we consider a diffuse structure. So in terms of percolation, is like if you had a zone of this lattice occupied with a probability larger than PC, lower than PC. So of course you have an infinite cluster. And what we call the diffusion front is the external frontier of this infinite cluster. So it has a position, it has a width, and it has a length. So you make numerics and you can compute all these quantities, the number of points on the front, the position, and the width of the front. And what you find, so forget this is in 3D, and I will not talk about 3D. So this is a picture. So here the concentration is 1, here the concentration is very small, and the front is this set of yellow particles. In the case of diffusion, the distribution of probability follows the complementary error function. This is shown here. And what we found was that, so this is the statistics of the front, which is, appears to be a Gaussian. And if you take the mean position of the front and go to the mean, to the concentration of particles, you find that this concentration was very close to PC, which in fact is not a surprise. The surprise is that it comes naturally in diffusion, because for instance, if you say these are metallic atoms, perhaps they share electrons if they are first nearest neighbor, but don't share electrons if they are second nearest neighbor, it's negligible. So this should be the real geometry of a diffuse contact, perhaps. So this was the motivation. Okay. So, so at that time, so this is shown here. This is the first value for PC of the square lattice that we found like that. And then Bob Ziff computed, used this method to give a very precise value of the percolation cluster and even more of the percolation threshold in the square lattice, and even more. So the fact is that, and in fact, of course, if you are on the finite cluster and you, this is a very efficient method from the simple fact that if you are on the occupied cluster and walk towards the empty C, the zone where P is smaller than PC, you hit the frontier with probability one. So this is one of the basics. I like to show that this is how we did measure fractal dimension at that time. Okay, so this
back
is
in the dark age.
Okay, so we found something like that. That was numerics. Okay, and we found also that the front widths follow a power law as a function of the gradient with some exponent close to 0.75, and the length also followed another power law with another exponent. So I'll try to explain the value of this exponent. So essentially what we do, we say, so this is in the language of percolation, in that region P is smaller than PC, so you have only finite clusters, they are islands, okay? but you see that, for instance, if this particle would shift here, it would be connected to the front. So in fact, statistically, the width of the front is of the order of a large an island, a finite cluster, finite because it is situated in a region where P is a little smaller than PC. So you write that the width of the front is equal to what is the size of a percolation, it's a correlation length or the characteristic length, for a value of P which is small, P which is the P value at the position x shifted from by sigma. You can say that this is approximately, but we know how the for percolation how the correlation length varies with p, and then you can write a simple equation. And at that time, nu was known to be equal to 4/3, and what we found was that this exponent. So the width varies with the length of the gradient to the power alpha, with where alpha is nu over 1 plus nu, 4 over 7. So this was very close to what we observed, and since it has been observed much more precisely. But so this is another reason why to correlate, I mean, to understand this diffuse structure in terms of percolation theory. Now, go to the front length, because the width is a correlation length, you can say that if you have a very long front on that direction, the number of front of particle on the front, the length, the number of these black particles here, is equal to the number of boxes which are uncorrelated, the size of correlation is sigma, so the number of box is L over sigma, and each box contains that. So the number of particles of the front behave like that with an exponent beta, which at that time, the ETF was 1.76 in America. We find that in close relay, in close very close to the numerics. Okay. Now, of course, it's not clear, and it, we use that as a physicist, but now Pierre Nolin has really demonstrated that sigma is the horizontal correlation length. He gave a talk at here about 1 month ago about that. But at that time, one had that the sum of these two exponents were close to one. So if you say that, and this was that's a surprise, so you write that the sum is equal to one, and then you find that the fractal dimension of the external perimeter of that cluster would be 1 plus nu over nu. So this is how, at that time, we conjectured that the fractal dimension should be equal, perhaps, to 7 divided by 4. So that was a conjecture to relate df to nu directly. But now, of course, this was 20 years ago, and now we know for sure that the fractal dimension of the hull of the perforation cluster is equal to 7 divided by 4. And now there is I want to draw your attention to a consequence of that. I knew that previously, but I didn't know what to do with that. But the number of particles in a box of lateral size sigma is the number of particles per column times the width of the front. So, and this is equal to sigma to the power df. And if you replace the exponent, this is proportional to the gradient length to the power 1, exactly 1. But if you forget for the process in which this has been made, this is the number of particles in a box of size sigma, where sigma is the statistical width of the frontier. It's defined by itself. You put particles with probability 1, 0.9, 0.8, like that. And then you observe that you measure the statistical width, you know nothing about fractality, and you just observe that the number of particles in a correlated box is equal to the length of the gradient. So this width is defined independently of the fractal character of the frontier. Fractality does not appear in this statement here. So some fact for diffusion, it means that for diffusion, the characteristic length is the diffusion length at time t, which is written here. It means that the correlated surface, the number of particles in a correlated box, is of the order, I mean, the prefactors are really of order one, not one, but it's really, of the diffusion length at time t. I mean, I don't know what to do with that, but this exists numerically with a very high precision. If you would be able to demonstrate that, that would be an indirect demonstration of the 7-4. Even for small non-fractal system. Okay, so because it doesn't appear in the statement, one can ask the question, what happens when the number, the gradient length is very small, as in this picture? And what I will show you is that the same power law are observed, down to very, very small or extreme gradient, very small LG or extreme gradient. So let me just make a sketch of a few physical situations where gradient percolation might appear. Suppose you have an image, but it is fuzzy for some region. So this is made with black and white pixels. So of course you have a distribution of black, which is random, black points, which is random like that. If you think that you can retrieve the front in that situation, the front would be narrower than the spread of the gradient, as you have seen, because it's going with the power 4 divided by 7. So this can be used perhaps to make some image treatment. I just want to mention that to tell you that this is a very common situation in which gradient situation appear. So let me now go to to an experiment which was made 10 years ago by a Hungarian electrochemist at École Polytechnique. So the experiment is the following. This is, this is in French. This is pit corrosion of an aluminum film. So you have a glass plate, an oxidizing solution, and you put a light here, and you have a camera above. So pit corrosion makes first a circular hole. I'm sorry, this image are not the hole. And the circle grows, and then it grows more and more slowly, becomes more and more irregular, and then stops.
So I'm sorry, what is doing the etching?
The etching is corroding, let's say.
And how is the corrosive inserted?
It's a solution. It is a solution, oxidizing solution, mm-hmm. with some concentration of iron chloride. I don't go into the detail. I would just want to see you that at the end, that you can see. I have a movie, but I have no time to show it here. The corrosion finally stops on a fractal frontier, and this is the experimental fractal frontier, and it shows up a dimension equal to 1.33 or something, very close to 4/3. So you know that 7/4 and 4/3 are related to calculations, so perhaps. So we built a model, very simple model, with Andrea Baldassari and Andrea Gabrielli. Very simple model in which this figures a 2D random metal sheet, which has a random resistance to corrosion. And you have an etching solution which contains a number of agents in a given volume. Okay. So what you find, if the some sites have a resistance smaller than the etching power, they are etched, they disappear. But of course, at the same time, the number of etchants decrease. So the solution is less and less powerful to etch. So you do that. So when you do that, you first etch weak sites, and you uncover sites which are either strong or weak. And you let the thing go on in the computer, and it stops on a fractal frontier. Okay, and this obeys also gradient percolation. So this is the equivalent gradient in that solution, and you can see this is a power 4.57. Okay. So this experiment in which you have not set the gradient from outside, but there is a gradient in this system, and where the question is, where is the gradient? Why is there a gradient in this experiment? And the idea is the following: at time t equals 0, you are in such position. At time t plus 1, the front has penetrated with a power, the new etching power is a little smaller, so it depends on time and x. And at the same time, so there are two things which appear at the same time. The front penetrates and lose power. So there is at each time a space-dependent power, etching power. And this is a gradient in the system. So if you, of course, we can put equations on that and find out what is the gradient. So this is the reason why. It's not a gradient in occupation by site, it's a gradient in occupation by the empty site, occupied by the solution. But of course, it's the same. Okay, in erosion of rocky sea coast, I go very quickly through that. you might think of an equivalent phenomena because the coast a priori is random. It's made of rocks with random resistance. And if there is erosion, some rocks are, let's say, dissolved in the sea. And at the same time, the coast becomes a little rough, and rougher and rougher. So the etching power, and it's known from other studies that the dissipation on a, I'll just show you, the dissipation on a large, longer coast, irregular coast, will be increased. I don't go into detail, we know that from other studies. So this is the idea that perhaps if one observes fractal seacoast, perhaps it is because they are good at damping the sea. So finally, the erosion is slower on a very irregular, perhaps fractal, seacoast. And this is perhaps why we observe that. So this can be implemented. You simply write that the power of the erosion power as a function of time is proportional to the length of the coast at time t with some proportionality factor. So you can implement, so let me see, just show you that people do use irregular surface to damp the sea. So this is known empirically. So you might do the same type of, this is essentially the same thing. So I go very quickly through that. And you end, in some cases, with fractal seacoast. And this is the northeast coast of Sardinia from satellite imaging, so simplified image. This has a fractal dimension, a geographical, let's say, fractal dimension of 1.33. And this is by accident. Sometimes we obtain a coast which was something like a numerical Sardinia, which was fractal. But this, the morphology might depend on. Yes.
Can you monitor the dimension?
Sorry?
Can you change the dimension?
Yeah. Okay. Here again, for the same power as a function of time, the sea penetrates the earth and loses its erosion power. So there is a natural gradient in that system, which is built in by the process itself. And here also we observe the power 4 divided by 7. So it's all this is more or less the same thing. But it's in some case, depending on the parameters, and you obtain that the final form is rough, but not fractal. So here again, there is a question, although it is not fractal, can it be described by this gradient percolation power loss? So these are motivation to, and of course, can you use this model for such a coast, which obviously is not fractal. It's irregular, it's rough, but it's not fractal. So there is the question of how to understand this for very small LG or very steep gradient is there. So we have done very extensive numerical computation for very steep gradient. Now, first, this is a note. Note that if percolation had been defined in the first place as gradient percolation, some of the answers would be trivial. For instance, look for PC in the triangular lattice, and look for the frontier, and the frontier is obvious. So this is first row, second row, three row, LG equal 2. And of course, the average position, if you take P at the average position of this line, it's equal to 1/2. So it's trivial in that case. And of course, it's true for whatever the value of LG, because any configuration. Now, this is for the square lattice. So the question is this width, empirical numerical width, proportional to LG? So we did extensive numerical simulation. And this is what we find. And this is LG equal 2. LG equal 2 is one occupied row, a second row with probability 1/2, a third row with probability 0. So of course the frontier is irregular, but it's not fractal. Still, it seems to be obeyed. So the question is this really true? So we have to make some effort from the numerics. First remark, for small LG, so we are very far from the thermodynamic limit. Of course, for instance, if you think to LG equal 1, an occupied row and an empty row, in that case, the number of particles of the front is 1 and the width is 0. So in that language, of course, you have to, it should not be proportional to LG, but to LG plus something, perhaps. Because, of course, we, of course this constant number is negligible for very large LG, but of course, for very small, you have perhaps to take care of that. And the question is this equal to, for instance, minus 1, such that you could use that even for that? Okay, the answer is no, but I have. So, we look, because we have to want to make that more precise. Is 7/4 the best exponent? So you choose arbitrary exponent, alpha, between 1.6 and 1.9, and you find with the data the best fit for this law. So for each value of alpha, you have a best fit. Then for each alpha, you compute this distance. So this is the distance between the numerical results measured for all these values of LG and the best fit. And if you plot that as a function of alpha, this is what you find. Really, you find that the best alpha is really very close to 1.75. So we believe that this should be 7/4. Okay. Now, for this extreme gradient, and not for all, because it becomes very difficult, but of course for LG equal 1, it's trivial. For LG equal 2 and LG equal 3, you can make an exact computation of the length and the width. And you find these numbers, and these strange numbers. So this is the average number of particles in the front, and this is the position, and this is the width.
If in principle, for any reasonable finite thing, you can do some exact diagonalization.
Perhaps. I mean, yeah. I mean, for 4, it's becomes what we did not.
So there's a transformation.
Perhaps. So we should talk more about this. If we could do that, that would be very nice. So what we do, what we say, well, we are very number of values between LG between 4 and 50. I'm taking 4 and 50 because it's small and large, but not so large. But then, because you know this power law, it's not clear how you can find a confidence interval in that case. And so we don't know really if we extrapolate these values. So these are the values extrapolated from the numerics, and these are the exact values. But we don't know the standard deviation of this value. It's difficult to figure what they are precisely, and we need precise figures. So what we did, was to study very carefully the case 4 and 5. And because 4 and 5 are not very far from 2 and 3, we think that we can use the standard procedure to find the confidence interval. And now you have to compare this row with the confidence interval. So these are exact values, and these are, let's say, the values, the numerical value extracted from a detailed study for LG equal 4 and LG equal 5. And you find that it falls within the confidence interval. So this is the point, because then you may buy question. and so on, much more more involved questions. So up to now, we believe everything is compatible with the fact that there is a single power law which describes this gradient percolation morphologies from LG equal to perhaps to infinity. So this is a test of that. These plots are linear plots. This one is the log. Linear plots of sigma to the power 7-4 as a function of NF to the power 7 divided by 3. So this is between 0 and 60, 600, 6,000, 60,000, okay. And so these lines are the lines which are obtained from the exact values for 2 and 3. And then you go to huge numbers with this same law. And this is what you obtain. So it seems, apparently, numerically, empirically, that there is a single power law followed by this structure from very small to very large. So a few remarks about that. So this I have already commented. So there exists a unique power law. It does not apply for LG equal 1. Definitely this B term is not equal to minus 1, just to compensate for LG, for the. So it's related to randomness in some sense. Something. The same type of results are obtained for the triangular lattice, with slightly different coefficients, but not very different. Now, there exists an implicit relation. Of course, if you have sigma as a function of LG and NF as a function of LG, you have a relation between sigma to the power 7-4 and NF to the power 7-3. Now, if you observe a coast or a corrosion frontier, you just observe the result of the corrosion process. You don't know what was the gradient. But there is an intrinsic relation between width and length. If this was obtained in the past by a process which has disappeared and that you cannot watch, which is still there. So now, of course, here 7-4 is not related to conformal invariance or SLE or fractality. Its origin is here purely combinatory. And of course, the origin of everything is combinatory, as, even in the thermodynamic limit. But of course, you cannot say more about that. But, now, there is a conservation law in diffusion and the lattice. The flux per column is proportional to the correlated surface. This is a result in itself. But of course, there are very many open questions. Nature doesn't live on the lattice, and the question remains of how to use that for rough coastline, perhaps, which are not found usually on the lattice. Now, let's go to, to gradient percolation. So now the region between two level lines. So these are the thresholds. So whatever the threshold that you choose from outside, you find this type of rough frontier, okay, more or less, which are more or less the same, with a more or less the same width, whatever the level that you choose.
So this S is the width of the gauss.
This
S
is the S is the width of the ocean. So
and that gives you the typical size of the island somehow?
Yes. This is now, this is very different from ordinary percolation. Ordinary percolation is defined by the occupation or not of sites or bonds with some probability. In continuous percolation, is occupied by circles, but you have circles or you have no circles. So you are occupied. It's called continuous, but it's not a derivable function in space, let's say, something like that. In smooth percolation, you find the type of critical fluctuations around any arbitrary threshold. So this means that perhaps that can extend the concept of critical fluctuation to very different situations. And of course, the important numerical fact is that the geometry, in some sense, does not depend. It depends on the width, but does not depend on the threshold. So these are results. This is the apparent fractal dimension. Of course, these things are not really fractal, so you measure a few blocks. I mean, it's imprecise.
These dimensions of the level sets?
Yes, of the level. So let's say, take S equal 1, so this is a narrow Gaussian. Now level lines at a level 0.2, and you find that. Now go to 0.4, you find something which is more or less the same. So whatever the level, arbitrary level chosen from outside, which is not related to the occupation of the sites, you find the same geometry. So you can take other type of broadening, of course. This is, I mean, this is only just to watch. If you take exponential broadening, you find things like that. More width, of course, things are smoother, but you have the same type of conservation of the geometry, independently of the threshold. You can also watch for Yukawa potential, and this is with something like a characteristic decreasing length, which is 5 here, and of course, if you take it all, you find things which are smoother. I mean, we have not made more, but just to observe that things are similar. So the geometry and the critical, the fluctuations here, which are linked to critical fluctuations in percolation, are obtained without the threshold, whatever the threshold determined by something else. So for instance, so I will just, So example of Yukawa potential. So suppose you have a radio frequency antennas, and of course, the power of the electric field, which is radiated, decreases with distance because of conservation of energy, and because of absorption of energy, you have this decrease also. So if you would have a distribution, so if you have a distribution, so suppose that these are antennas for your cellular phone, and perhaps in the center of the cities there are many, and perhaps if you go in the suburbs and farther and farther, there are less and less. So there is a distribution in space of antennas. So you have a given phone which has a given sensitivity. And you may wonder, can I use my phone or not? And then if you are in the limit is strongly fluctuating. And whatever the sensitivity of your phone, if you are at the limit, you will have fluctuations and critical fluctuations. I mean, everyone knows that when you hardly have can reach, it's working, not working, perhaps it's a trace of critical fluctuations, I don't know. But perhaps more precisely, equipotential line, due to a charge concentration distribution of ions in an electrolyte. And this exists at any metallic electrode, there is a concentration, a charge distribution of ions. This is known as a GUI layer. And so this means that if I am one ion, I want to react, so I have to move in this wild potential, I have to move through this wild potential distribution. And this might explain some unknown properties of electrochemical reactions. This is so let's say, if you have a random distribution of charge which are screened, the equipotential lines are in some sense fractal, up to some size, but are in some sense fractal.
So you show these results with exponentially decaying kernels, and so does this mean that one should expect the same for polynomially decaying kernels as in Coulombic potentials?
I think it should decrease.
It should
decrease, but rather
he's fast enough.
Fast enough,
yes.
Okay, yes. So if you have an integrability condition, of course.
Well, we have not.
It seems to me it's not clear. This is.
The battery is not. Now, even in 1D, this problem is not trivial. So I think I have no time, so I...
2 minutes.
Okay, so that's fine. So this is a situation of gradient percolation. It's simple because, so you occupy a single line with some probability which varies in space. And what you have, and this can be, I cannot show you the equation because I suppressed them from my phone.
Should we try the escape button?
Wow.
Okay, maybe the talk's over.
So, I mean, let me just draw a picture.
Oh, here I got something. Oh, no, this is different on the screen.
No, it's not the same. Okay.
So, suppose you have a
You dress the occupied sites here with a Gaussian. So what you obtain is a function in space which is more or less constant here, with some perhaps combination, and then you have something like that. And you have, if you look for constant level interactions, you indicate the function which is indicator function. So of course you find the same type of irregularity in 1D. Mm-hmm. So in 1D this problem is not trivial either. And this